Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Jessie May. This is the Sharp Tongue Podcast. A little bit of a regularly scheduled program episode. We're going to talk to somebody. There's no grief involved. Well, I mean, a little bit of like natural grief, but this is just a regular Sharp Tongue Podcast episode, old school style. Thank you guys so much for your support. Make sure you check out the YouTube page. You know what's up. YouTube.com/ Jessie May Peluso. We have Bong and Movie that's back. I'll be releasing the audio for that. We did The Thing a couple weeks ago. John Carpenter's The Thing. And we also did, what did we do last week? We did Labyrinth. Hello, Jim Henson's Labyrinth. Both of those available on my YouTube page. I do it live and the video stays up for you to enjoy. It's like a movie companion show. You just play it along. You can play it right from the beginning and cue up your movie and I let you know when to play the movie. It's a lot of fun. We're going live on Fridays at 8 p.m. on my YouTube and my Facebook page, both youtube.com/ Jessie May Peluso, facebook.com/ Jessie May Peluso. I don't know what's wrong with my voice. I'm losing my voice. I will be going back out on the road at some point. I feel it calling me, so stay tuned for that. I will release dates as I get them. I want to do it safely, but I really miss you guys. I miss stand-up. I haven't been on a stage in so many months, so that will be coming shortly. Those details will be happening shortly. My Netflix show, we're still in post-production. I will let you know as soon as I have the okay to promote it, when you guys can look for it. It will be on Netflix. My Spotify podcast should be done. We recorded. I'll let you know when that's going to be coming out. So many beautiful things happening in 2021 already. And I just really appreciate you guys. I know I say it every week, but I mean it. This has been a beacon for me during a very difficult time and a focal point and also very cathartic. So I thank you. And speaking of cathartic, this episode is very much that. I think I have a new boyfriend. I don't know. But we had a lot of fun chatting. It's a comedian who I've known who I haven't really known. And that's why I wanted him on my podcast to get to know him. And we did that. And it was a lot of fun. A lot of surprising things I found out about him. And I hope you guys enjoy it with stand-up comedian, actor, and Instagram model, Matt Rife. Sorry, Matt.
Sharp Tongue Podcast.
Beep, 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 beep.
You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie May Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty. You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry. I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me.
What's up, peeps? It's your girl, Jessie May. This is the Sharp Tongue Podcast coming to you somewhat live from my sister's kitchen. The whole house is empty. I have a whole empty house, which is the first time in like, I don't know, 3 months. It went from two screaming toddlers and two screaming parents and four dogs to minus those people, and I still have the dogs, and it's me. I'm not good at math, so hopefully you caught up with that. Today's episode is going to be unique in that normally I'm kind of interviewing somebody. Usually it's somebody I know or somebody I'm interested in. So one out of two ain't bad. This episode features a fellow comedian and him and I have done shows together. He's had me on his shows when we did have shows back in LA when comedy was still a thing. I'm out of breath because I just did a lap around my sister's island trying to get the dog to not eat the edibles that I left out. So let me catch my breath. So he's very, very funny. I'm sure he gets the same thing, which we're going to get into in the conversation about his looks over his talent, which I've suffered my entire career. I think he's an Ohio native. I know he was on MTV's Wildin' Out. And I also saw that he was in a horror movie, which we're going to have to add to the Bong and Movie feature list. And maybe he'll come back and do like a live movie commentary. We'll have to see if we can bribe him. Everybody, welcome the hilarious, very, very funny, Mr. Matt Rife.
Yeah, we're never seeing that scary movie ever.
We are
I'm hoping it never comes out.
I did like a quick search because I know a little bit about you, but I saw that you were in a horror movie, and I do this thing called BAM. It's bong and movie. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like just like a movie companion thing where I get stoned and people can watch live. And so I was so excited to watch this movie, and you're telling me it's not even out yet?
Which one are you referring to? I've done a couple of horrors.
Black Pumpkin.
Oh no. Not that one. No. Okay. I did that movie like 4.5 years ago, and it just came out. It's not great for sure. It's one of those movies that actually, if you're high, you might actually enjoy it. You can enjoy how corny it is.
Yeah. You know, look, I'm a huge, okay, so we're going to get to know each other. So one thing about me that you should know is I'm a huge horror movie nerd. Like I watch all, you are?
Mm-hmm. Massive horror movie fan.
That's crazy. I see, this is so funny about like people in your perspective. I would never pin you as that, but then again, I don't know you. Can I tell you movies I think you watch?
Absolutely. Go right ahead. Fight Club, Roadhouse.
I was going to say Bring It On.
Wow. If you don't think I'm an avid East Compton Clover fan, you're crazy, okay? Of course I know Bring It On. Stereotypes are fun for a reason.
Oh my God, what is, and I told Matt before we started recording that he can ask me anything too. We're going to treat this like a getting to know you thing. What is, who's your doppelganger?
I get Cillian Murphy all the time.
Yep.
Is that what you're going to say?
100%. But I don't want to like, you know, I want to know what you have heard as opposed to me telling you and putting my vibes on what I think. Cillian Murphy for sure.
Cillian Murphy, sometimes like when I have my hair done at least, like Brendan Fraser before he was beanbag chair.
Beanbag chair?
Have you seen him recently?
No. Okay. I need to see what he looks like.
Oh, you absolutely need to see a current picture of Brendan Fraser. This actually can't wait. Hold on.
You're going to pull it up for us?
Absolutely. This is what you need an assistant for.
I do. I need my girl to get on this. Oh, shit.
Right?
He looks like a Macy's Day Parade float. He looks like he's metamorphosing into a frog.
He looks like the Penguin.
He does. Wow. Is that?
Jesus.
I got to put my hair up. Hold on.
That's her.
I wonder.
That used to be him. Crazy.
I remember that. I remember that from back in the day. What was he famous for? I don't even remember his thing.
The Mummy and George of the Jungle.
Yes.
Journey to the Center of the Earth. And now he like, I think he's on that, I don't know what network it's on. It's a DC show. What is it called? He plays like basically a robot man where he wears like a robot helmet the entire time. So like you would never even know it's him. That's how you know you're ugly, when people just start throwing face shields on you. For no reason.
Yeah, and also, like, why even have him be in the movie or the show?
Get anybody.
Yeah, why get his cousin? Get somebody who's
exactly.
I was going to say not as expensive, but sorry, Brandon. I don't know what your rate is, but I can't imagine. I'm sure you and I are, like, par for par, almost. I might be more. I might cost more.
Who do you get that you look like?
I get – the most I've gotten in my life is Sandra Bullock and then Bridget Fonda. Those are the two that I've gotten.
Not bad.
Not bad. You know, I'll take it. I'll even take Sandy Bullock now. Like, people always talk shit about people getting work done, and who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Getting plastic surgery is kind of like doing steroids in sports. You know what I mean? Like, it often makes it better. You know, like, would you rather a bunch of ugly people be walking around? Like, get out of here. Are you serious?
Right. Would we want Lance Armstrong to lose the race? No, we want him to win. He lost a nut. He didn't lose a nut for nothing.
Exactly. That's the only thing that got attention for cycling was the fact that he had one ball. Two balls just wasn't exciting. He needed the work done.
I wonder, like, do you think you come less with one nut?
Or do you think that one is like overcompensating for the missing one?
Oh, it could be. It could be like that kid who survives after like an accident and his sibling died. And
he gets all the talent from it.
He has to like overcompensate for the loss of his sibling.
Have you seen, what's it called? Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
So fucking funny.
So good. It's so good. Underrated. I can't believe people haven't seen this movie. It's so well done.
And you know, that'd be a good one to do for the entire movie. He what?
That's actually him singing the entire movie.
I did not know that. Really?
Yeah, John C. Reilly went to a theater school where he did a lot of singing.
He is so fucking funny. Step Brothers, I honestly was considering doing that for Bam, but I think Walk Hard would be a fun one because it's kind of it's a little bit of a sleeper. You know, it's like fans know it, but it's not something that is as popular as Step Brothers or something, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I that would be my vote. It's so well done. It's a spoof, if anybody doesn't know what it is, it's like a spoof of Walk the Line, right?
Yeah, it's a spoof of John Cash, Johnny Cash.
So good. Oh, and his brother dies and the dad keeps telling him about how the wrong kid died. It's beautifully done. It's beautifully done.
I've been crying this entire, we've been on for 8 minutes and I'm crying already. Okay, when's the last time you cried?
Ooh.
Like really, really cried.
Like an emotional cry or triggered by something cry?
Something where, you know, tears were streaming from your face.
It's been a couple years.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not.
Is that what it feels like to be a man? You guys just don't cry as much?
No, I definitely cry when it's time. I'm probably very unsympathetic. I'm not sad that often for things going on. The last time I cried, period, was about probably 9 months ago. I rewatched Radio with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Is that
fucking sad?
Is he like mentally challenged?
Yeah, forget that's how we have to describe it now. Yeah,
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. Thinking about you crying about watching a movie about somebody who's got a mental disability.
When the mom dies? Are you kidding me? What's he just going to be there by himself? It's so, spoiler alert, if you guys haven't seen Radio yet, the mom dies. And it's the saddest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Well, my mom did too. And it is very brutal.
I'm so sorry. I forgot immediately.
No, it's fine. We don't really know each other. And I love dark shit. Dark shit is like my wheelhouse. It's
oh, okay. Then thank God.
Yeah. No, stand up comedy. Hello. That's the, you know, the precursor to even getting on stage is experiencing some shit. But like I said, before we started recording, when we started recording, do you like get people talking shit about you? Because obviously you're an attractive person. And for some reason, traditionally, people associate comedy with ugliness. And you're supposed to be ugly in order to be funny, which I think is just a crock of shit. But what in your life did you experience that made you want to do stand-up? Was it something dark and traumatic? Or was it something different?
Ooh, jumping right into therapy, I see.
Yeah, it's kind of my vibe.
Well, I think it all started when my dad died when I was like two, so I didn't really have a dad growing up.
Damn. I mean, you can pause and stop right there. That'll do it for a boy.
I know. I'm thinking about building my career off of it. It seems to be in style right now.
Totally.
He died when I was two, so that's probably strike one. And then I ended up with like, you know, like the stereotypical like movie stepdad where it's like white trailer trash, alcoholic, abusive stepdad.
Oh,
ended
fuck.
Up with one of those for like 16 years. And then just probably traumatic relationships.
Yeah.
But I was also very ugly up until like 3 years ago. That, like, I was forced to have a personality. Thank God.
Isn't it funny when your beauty, like, it comes, I feel the same way. I feel like I just got pretty like six days ago.
6 days ago? You've been hot for so long. Are you kidding me?
That's going to be my special title, Hot for So Long. What, thank you for that compliment. What made your father pass away? Like, what, was he sick? Did he get into an accident? Did your mom murder him?
You ready for this crowd pleaser?
Yes, I am.
Gun though, so not as cool. You know, he probably could have been more creative.
Wow.
I definitely didn't get my creativity from him. We'll say that.
But at least he's concise. He's straight to the point.
Absolutely. He doesn't hesitate. We'll say
no.
That.
No. He's a man who knows what he wants.
He knows how to make a decision.
He knows exactly what he wants out of life.
And that's to get out. That I understand.
Matt, do you talk about this in your stand-up?
I do. I have a whole bit about how, like, the number one thing that I wanted as a kid growing up, that, like, the same thing that I wished for every single year on my birthday was a trampoline. Like, I wanted a trampoline so bad, I never wished for my dad to be alive again. Like, I just wanted the trampoline. It's like a whole thing about very pro trampoline. It's a very young bit.
It's cute, though. I like that. I like that you put, like, you know, those things in our lives that sort of the harder, more trying times that define who we're going to be. You know, I feel like talking about your dad killing himself and all of that, what we just spoke about, I think would be amazing on stage. I really do.
I love it because what is it about, like, the reaction of something like that, that we love so much? Cause like a reaction from that kind of joke where it's kind of a mixture of people who have the dark sense of humor and are laughing, and then like the other 50% is kind of like, oh my God, why is that so satisfying? To make people so uncomfortable.
I think because you're tapping into something, it's almost like kind of like a magician where they have a secret and they are able to surprise an audience or engage an audience, and the audience still doesn't know how they do it. Because most people wouldn't be able to get up and talk about their father's death or talk about whatever it is, incest or rape or suicide. People don't know how that's done. So I think when they hear something that's so perverse in society, even though we've evolved so much, we're still really prudish when you think about it, especially America.
Oh my God, it's getting worse, I feel like.
Oh, what the I mean.
It's like both ends of the spectrum. It's like OnlyFans is popping off, but also you can't say or do anything.
Yeah, you can sell your pussy online, but don't say retard.
Exactly. You have to say radio from here on out.
I started to use the word retard once in a while, and it's sort of that thing where I know I shouldn't, but it's not meant in any sort of derogatory way because it's just a fucking word, and that's why I use it, because I feel like you use it more, you relinquish the power of it and what it does to people.
I was just talking to my roommate about that the other day. We were talking about the N-word. No, I'm kidding. No, we were talking about retarded. And how it's... Have you ever used the word retarded and actually been talking about somebody with a for real, like, mental handicap? Never. It never means that.
Never.
So it's crazy how people give words power.
It is.
Literally, if you wanted to, you could change the meaning and purpose and context of these words.
And I think, don't you think, like, the power of the word causing harm lies in the person who hasn't done the work to heal from whatever it is? And I'm not saying, like, obviously certain mental disabilities you can't heal from, but I'm a firm believer, because I've also been through a lot of shit like you've been through. And, you know, if you feel like getting into it, we can get into it. But I'm a firm believer that your healing is your responsibility. Like, you can victimize yourself and become a victim and live that life, but there is a choice to be made to go on the other side of that and learn how to figure out how to exist and not have those things that happen to you define you.
Absolutely. How have we taken so long to have these conversations?
I don't know.
I could not agree more. I've been talking about that on stage a lot more recently too, because I feel my material is starting to get a little bit darker, a little bit edgier, to where a lot of people are visually hesitant to be on board with this. So I start talking a lot more about how that's kind of my coping process. Like, whenever something bad happens, I don't know if it's an instinct or even maybe like a a way of like self-defense or something like that. But instantly my brain goes to the jokes whenever I hear about something traumatic or bad that happens. It's always inappropriate. So I don't know what that coping mechanism is exactly. Like, I mean, I do a whole bit about like school shootings and like, cause one woman came up to me after the show and was like telling me like, it wasn't cool that I was making school shooting jokes, which is like, what is she talking about? And then the reason being, she was like, what if you lost your kid in a school shooting incident? Like, do you think you could make jokes about it then? And like, that was such like an eye-opening moment for me that like really made me sit back and think like, could I actually make jokes about my kid if I lost him in a school shooting incident? And I could, 100%. I would be killing it at that funeral. Like, I wouldn't be able to hesitate. Are you kidding me? My kid? Fuck you. That's fair game, okay?
That's like the time when you have to do it.
Yeah, right? Like, he was never good at hide and seek. Stuff like that, you know? Like, that you can't expect me to be up there all sad every single day because there's so much bad stuff happening every single day, especially these days, I feel like. But it's like, I can't imagine someone who can't make light of these bad situations, and that just takes up like such a negative space in their head all day, every day. That seems like a miserable way of living.
It does. It seems exhaustive and like just it's like a vicious cycle. And when you think about history and historically people who have been entertainers, It's prostitutes and court jesters. Like, those are two of the oldest careers that have existed, mm-hmm. and they continue to exist. And the more we get into that path, like you were talking about, of censorship and what words can and should and shouldn't be said or used, and start to censor free speech, it gets into a really slippery fucking slope.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
Do you ever listen to Ricky Gervais talk about these subjects?
I wonder, there might have been some videos. I don't know. I can't think of anything specifically, but I do love him. I love what his stand-up and all of his work.
I think he's brilliant. I mean, he's incredibly well-educated and well-read on the psychology of words and everything. I mean, I love his entire take on it. Just, I mean, overall, his view on it is like, eventually everyone's going to die, so you might as well have a laugh. And a lot of the times people are confusing the subject of the joke for the actual punchline of the joke.
Yes.
Just because you joke about something that might reference the word that triggers you, it doesn't even mean that's what's being made fun of.
No, and it's also like there's an evolution of language. We didn't come out of the water with full speech. You know, we grunted before we made full sentences. And so everything evolves and people get so, maybe it's a thing where people get so scared of change because it means they have to change. And so maybe the word triggering their offense is more their fear of having to evolve as an individual. You know, it means they have to do something different. And a lot of people don't want to do that.
If that is the case, I can understand it, but no, I guess because I have that feeling towards like social media. Granted, it's like very my generation. Like, I hate social media. I cannot stand it. If it were up to me, I would delete everything.
Mm-hmm. I just said the same shit today to my girl Carly. I'm like, I just want to get rid of everything.
Right? Oh my God, I miss it so much. And like, I have a good sized following, but like, not that I'm ungrateful for it, but like, I would much prefer to not have it. It's just, it's so depressing all the time. So meaning like I just got on TikTok, right? After a year of telling everyone, did you really?
I don't know how to do it. I'm stressed.
I haven't used a single filter. I have done nothing but upload like old stand-up bits that I don't even do anymore.
I uploaded two videos that were from like 2012.
See, I have no clue how to use it. I'm like, here, I guess I'll try it out. Like, years of people being like, you gotta do it. I was like, no, fuck, that's so stupid. I'm not trying to impress a bunch of 12-year-olds. And then I get on there and like my third video gets like 4.4 million views in like 2 days. I was like, fuck, it's so for me. Now I have to be on here.
I need to see what is the video? Now I need to go on.
Oh, it's such an old clip too. It's about looking like a fuckboy but having feelings.
Okay, I can see how that can go viral though, because that's like right in the zeitgeist of people who are on the app, and that's like right in the language of what's going on. And then it gets addictive. Then you're like, okay, so how do I roll this into something else? It's almost like gambling for our generation.
Yeah, absolutely. But I hate the evolution of social media and having to do that. Like, you and I, our entire careers are based on live performance. You know, like, it's so stupid that we have to evolve and play these games and attach ourselves to like whatever the next big thing might be, rather than just do what we already know we're good at.
And that's the thing.
So if people struggle that way about changing their thought process on words, I guess it's similar, but I guess the difference would be like TikTok and social media is kind of like lifestyle based versus feeling a certain way about words is, you know, a lot more of an internal battle, I guess.
It totally is. It totally is an internal battle. And you talked about Ricky Gervais. Do you know, have you ever heard of Doug Stanhope's bit on words and language?
No, but I love Stanhope.
So good. It's so good. He basically pulls up the parallel of how the word retard replaced the word imbecile. And now we use the word imbecile to describe like idiots. Like, oh, he's an imbecile. We don't use it that much, but it's still, its meaning, its connotation has evolved because the retard took its place.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just saying, can't you see? There'll be something to replace retard. There'll be something to replace that. And it's, you know, finding a way to make your life worthwhile as opposed to just being a fucking offended. It drives me nuts.
It blows my mind.
It's so strange. And it's like, you know, I have these jokes about rape. The first time I ever had sex, I was raped. That's one of my sad stories. So funny. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be great on stage. I don't even want to stop it. I should just let this, you know, play its course because it'll be a good story. And I...
No, I'm very intrigued. I'm very intrigued.
So I've been working these jokes out for a long time because it takes a while to figure out how that's going to work, you know, because it's still such a touchy subject. Now it's like popular, but like when I first started doing these jokes, it was a touchy subject. And a couple years ago when I was on the road in Detroit, I was at this really dingy place in Detroit called Max Bar. It was like an old rock and roll club and really dingy and dirty and kind of seedy, but it was just perfect. I was like, oh, this is a good spot to like work these jokes out. And so I went into it and, you know, did all my other stuff about my dead dad and Alzheimer's and all that shit. And then after the show, these two girls come up to me and they yelled at me about my rape jokes. They're like, it's not appropriate. You can't talk about that on stage. And as a woman, you should really be offended and really disgusted with yourself. And I was like, I'm hearing everything. I was just like a manager at fucking Trader Joe's. I'm like, I'm hearing everything and I am understanding that you're not happy. But I just have one question for each of you girls. And please don't take offense to this more so than anything that you've already been offended by tonight. Were either of you raped? And both of them were. And neither of them had started to go into therapy or deal with it. And that is, to me, one of the quintessential issues of people who get offended. They're triggered. They're triggered by something. They're triggered by something in their past and their trauma and their story that they haven't really unearthed or excavated on their own to start to deal with. You know, it's...
See, that I can accept and understand. And that level of sensitivity and handling it that way makes complete sense to me. What bothers me is people who haven't been through that situation and think they need to be offended because it's on the right side of it. That drives me insane.
Well, those motherfuckers who just don't have anything to do. They're bored as fuck. They don't have anything.
It's 100% white people.
White bitches.
All the time.
Sorry,
never
ladies.
Hesitate to be offended for other people.
What's a saying? Like, saying you have a problem is the first step to solving the problem. Like, white bitches, you got a problem. I love you so much. I am one. Okay. Well, you bitches, open your mouths. I would say 9 out of 10 times at my shows when I've gotten heckled, it's been a white bitch.
Yeah, I'd say the same. I don't think I've ever been heckled by a black person negatively.
Never. Not once. Ever, 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 ever. What is, what's one of the craziest things that ever happened to you on stage? If you've been doing stand-up through quarantine a little bit?
Quite a bit, actually. Thankfully.
Ugh. So jealous.
I know. Come to our show, Jesse.
I know. Once I get out of this.
Where are you? What state?
I'm in New York State, upstate.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Craziest things that's happened. I've been very lucky. I've never been booed. Like no one's ever like tried to fight me or anything, even though I definitely welcome it for sure.
Why, you think you have a face that somebody wants to punch?
Very punchable face. Very punchable. I'd say the weirdest thing that happens more often than I wish it would, is like, oh God, this is so shallow. People will like ask me to take my shirt off on stage and will literally pay me, like, I've gotten somebody to pay me $500 cash on stage to like take my shirt off.
Well, that's weird you should say that, because I was going to ask you, I don't have $500, but I do have half a lemon.
Yeah, that'll get you. That'll get you. I'll take the beanie off.
Oh, okay, sure. That's great, because I'm definitely hair sexual. That really works.
Thanks.
You got great hair.
You earned it. Thank you. It happens probably every other month.
Damn.
And it's not even like bachelorette parties or anything. It'll be like a woman with her husband. It's so.
Oh, I can
weird.
See that. I can see that.
A way more uncomfortable circumstance than it even should be.
I can see that totally. And I can see the husband pretending he's offended and pretending he's grossed out. Meanwhile, he's like, we got to get him home.
We got to get him in the truck.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever been like propositioned by couples?
Like maybe once. Maybe once. Like, you know, you should like come out to drinks with us or whatever. And I never like straight back to the home, but like it's, I get the vibe. I catch on.
Have you in your past been like, you know, a typical male comic who's like a whore on the road? Or are you like
I've been doing stand up, it'll be 10 years this April, and I have maybe hooked up like twice ever.
What?
No, because like here's the thing. Well, going back to what we were talking about earlier, most male comics are not, you know, great looking or probably don't have a ton of options. Not saying that I do, I'm just saying in general. So I mean, I feel like they're probably a little bit more intrigued. But to me, stand-up comedy is usually like couples night out. It's never like hot single horny girls night out.
You haven't been to my shows.
Please take me on tour with you. Please take me on tour. Can I please feature for you in 2022? That's all I ask.
That would be so fucking funny. Like, instead of the Untouchables, it's like the Unfuckables.
Wow.
That is funny. There's something there. We might have to do something in 2021 or 2022, whenever this shit happens.
I would not hesitate.
Because I say the same thing. Like, people are like, oh, dudes must always hit on you. No. And not that I'd want that or welcome that, but
they really don't.
No, I think it's happened a couple times, but it's not anything where it's something to remark about. I think maybe because of my energy and my persona and in my content, that I don't put out that vibe of someone who's looking to smash on the road. And I don't put out that vibe of like a vulnerable girl who you could pull one over on. So they probably just don't even try.
That makes sense. Yeah, you probably don't want your brand to be like, I give out Minnesota blowjobs. Well, what happens in Minneapolis stays in
my apple puss, whatever.
Apple puss?
I haven't been on stage in a year. Please give me this moment.
It's all yours. Bask in it.
I was messaging with Segura, and I'm like, I don't think I'm funny anymore. He goes, trust me, you are. I'm like, I really don't. I haven't been on stage. Like, this is the longest break I've had from stand-up, and I've been doing stand-up for, I want to say, let's see, 18 years I've been doing stand-up. I know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How old are you?
38.
What? Mm-hmm. Good. Yep. Good job. Wow.
Thank you. Thank you. It's semen. It's mainly semen.
Got to get on that.
Yep. You use it as you just everywhere. You just bask in it. It doesn't even matter. Intravenously on your face. Put your toes in it. It's magical.
I'll
it's
just a fountain go through of you. Dog through West Hollywood. Done and done. That was the first place I ever lived in LA, And when I grew up in Ohio, like it was a very small town. There was no gay people at all. I had never met a gay person until I was like 17 years old.
Where in Ohio?
Middle of nowhere. It's a very small town, like an hour west of Columbus. It's called North Lewisburg. It's like maybe 2,000 people, if that.
Damn.
Oh yeah, like one stoplight that could easily be a four-way stop.
Do you know Curtis, Ohio?
Hmm?
Have you heard of Curtis, Ohio? C-U-R-T-I-C-E. I think it's like that. It's like a small ass town in Ohio.
How do you know about it?
I was driving cross country and I stopped there and I stopped in this bar that literally looked like something out of like a Quentin Tarantino vampire movie. And I'm like, this should be fun. And you open the door, it's all dusty. You know how like bars are just dusty sometimes? Mm-hmm. Cigarette smoke. I'm like, oh fuck, there's gonna be racism in this fucking. If there's cigarette smoke in a bar in America today, there's racism.
That's what the smoke is. It's racism in the air. You can physically see it.
I sat down, I ordered like a Coors Light. It's all they had. I'm like, can I have a beer? Do you have anything like, you know,
fancy? And they're like, here's a Coors Light.
Yeah, they're like, I was like, do you have any local? They're like, we got Coors Light. I'm like, great. I feel like I'm going to be a racist after I drink this. And 5 minutes into it, there were four dudes there all saying, end this, end that, like, just casually. And I was like, I got to go.
Yeah, my high school was like that. We had four black students and they were mixed, and they were all four of them were my best friends since kindergarten. How weird how that worked out. We only had four students who were black in our entire high school, and any white person could say the N-word at any given time because it's like the ratio, you know what I mean? Who was gonna stop it? It was incredibly uncomfortable to watch.
That's funny. You gotta write that shit down, like the racism ratio. That's really good, and it's poignant because it is definitely the cultural, you know, majority is.
Mm-hmm.
If there's all white people, that's a bad ratio for racism.
Oh yeah, I am so uncomfortable around a crowd of white people. It's like for real social anxiety. I hate it. I can't stand it.
Well, it's just, you know, for me, I grew up in a pretty diverse area, so I'm used to diversity. I like diversity. I thrive in that. And so I feel the same way. It's like this is very Stepford Wivesies. What's happening here? What are we doing? When's the sacrifice start? Because I want to be out before this shit really kicks in.
Do we get the sheets here? Or did I have to bring my own? I just want to know for sure.
Do we cut holes in ourselves, or what the fuck? What the fuck are we supposed to do?
Are your audiences on the road pretty diverse?
Yeah, you know, it skews a little bit older. Like I've gotten like old people at my shows, like in their retirement years, in the golden years, the past, I'd say 3 or 4 years, but it's mainly women around my age. And a lot of dudes, you know, it's very mixed, I would say, but it used to be all women. What's that?
Ethnicity wise.
Mixed.
Really?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like where I grew up in Syracuse. Like it's pretty mixed here, and it sort of feels like that on the road.
Is Syracuse super diverse, or is it like just the basketball team?
You know, my high school was more than 50% minority, and like it was like half mixed. You know, like black and people from different areas in Asia, and a lot of Italians, and you know, it was very, very mixed, very mixed. A lot of, you know, not a lot of Latinos though in my hometown that I know of. It was mainly like, you know, Asian and black, and all. I never saw, like, because of that, my parents didn't raise me with any sort of differentiation between cultures. It just was people. You know, my best friends growing up the street, my sister's best friends were two kids from Vietnam right across the street. And my stepsister's black. And we had it around us all the time, you know, like just a community and mixture of people. Melanin. I feel like that's healthy. Melanin. Oh, bring some melanin in. Golly. That's the best part of life. You know, it's like
white
funerals.
What'd you say?
White funerals are the fucking worst.
I You know what's funny? I've never been to a funeral and I've never been to a wedding.
Are you like, how old are you?
25.
Holy fuck. What about your dad's funeral?
I mean, I was like 2. I don't remember. That doesn't count. I was probably like shitting myself in the corner. Like, it was not a memorable time for me.
How has a girl not brought you to a wedding? I feel like you'd be a fun wedding date. Now I want to know somebody who's getting married just so I can bring you.
Happily. Happily. I've heard it's a good time, but yeah, just don't know. I mean, I have friends back in Ohio who got married, but like that's not a good enough reason to get me to go back to Ohio.
Oh, hell no. Especially with the divorce rate. Although in Ohio, it's probably more successful because it's like, what are your options?
Yeah, but where are you going to go?
No, I'm not going to anyone's wedding in a coastal main city. If you're getting married in New York, bye. Let me know when the divorce party happens. I'm not showing up.
You haven't been married, have you?
No, I've never been married, never had a kid, no STDs. Yeah, this coochie's clean and this heart is pure.
Well, you know, time will tell. You're still young. You have plenty of time.
Time will tell.
Time will tell. Oh, goodness. Oh, weddings.
Do you think you're going to get married? Is that like...
That's what I was about to ask you. I don't... I probably will. I'm very monogamous. I'm very...
Are you just saying that to flirt with me?
No. No. I'm so monogamous. I'm so like...
Matt, hold your thought. Tell me you say this on stage. Tell me you say I'm so monogamous.
No, I don't say it like that.
You have to. It's so fucking funny, but continue your thought.
Why is that funny? I'm writing it down. I don't want my girl to fuck other people and me also.
I'm going to write this down for you. I'm going to write down some notes about jokes that you've said that you need to talk about. Okay, continue your thought.
I'm so monogamous. I'm so, not in like an aggressive way or a problematic way, but I'm very possessive. I find something romantic about like you being mine and me being yours, you know? Like I can
That was a plot for that Netflix show, You.
God, I'd be so good on that show.
You would be so good on that show.
God, I don't know if I text enough underage women to really get booked.
Hold on, let me call Kate Beckinsale.
Wow. Wow. Here I was thinking I was going to slide by without getting arrested.
I had to throw one. Come on, I had to throw one. It was funny, too. It was really
but that's
funny.
Also opposite end of the spectrum. You know what I mean?
It is.
I have so many old references from, like, if anyone ever accused me of being a pedophile, there's enough.
Yeah, you're like,
no, trust me, it's not his name.
Have you Googled me? Gross. You're like, gross.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking disgusting.
Have you had a lot of relationships?
I've been in 4 relationships that are like full on boyfriend, girlfriend. Let's see where the future goes. I know. I like them. I like relationships. It's nice to have a person, you know?
It is nice to have a person. It's nice to have like, I don't know, someone who you can reveal all your shit to if you do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every time I do that, they run.
I'm like, I don't know when this clicked in, probably like within like the past 2 years. I definitely like had the fuckboy phase for sure. Once people started saying like, hey, you're not ugly anymore. I was like, well, okay, might as well cash in on this, playing catch up. But as of recently, like I enjoy a first date because I'm like unapologetically me on a first date. I'll talk about whatever. I'm goofy. I'm silly. I'm not like trying to like play it cool and take you to like Mastro's Steakhouse and to show you how cool of a guy. Not at all. I'm like an open book from the jump. And I think it's very telling for a lot of people.
I think it's a good way to do it. Cause so there's so much, like a facade put on when people meet each other. And, and also in this social media time, it's kind of hard to, well, I guess it's hard to lie, but it's also easy to lie. Basically, what I'm saying is I feel like people put on a good face when they meet one another, and then they wonder why their relationships sort of fall apart.
Absolutely. Like you, after you get past like the honeymoon phase or whatever, you're like, oh, yeah, this person as a person kind of fucking sucks. And I just want to weed out that process. Like, what? Yeah, but eventually that facade is going to fade, you know?
Yeah, and it's like,
And I've got a lot of baggage. So it's like, I want you to be aware of that up front.
I was going to say that. Like, people come with so much baggage and they try so hard to hide it. And it's like, bitch, I see six suitcases. Not the kind we're carrying on. The motherfuckers you got to check at the fancy desk, the oversized packages.
The fancy desk.
Yes, there's a fancy desk for big ass packages when you want to fly, where you got to go and check in. You know, some motherfucker brings an oboe on a flight to Wichita because he can't be without his oboe. Like, I see six of those behind you. Why don't you just unpack them? People are so afraid to unpack their shit, and we all have it.
And you have to get past the social media is it's a pro and a con, because it's very deceiving. It can give you a lot of insight, but it can be super deceiving. I'm nothing like my Instagram at all. I hate it.
I gotta show people.
I can't stand it.
I liked a photo today. I was just like going through because, you know, like I don't scroll. I don't really like look at people's shit. Like, I go on for work and I try and put some entertaining stuff up and I get off. But I was like, let me look at his page. So I found one. I didn't go too deep, but I found one. I was like, this is who I think he is.
Oh, God. I'm terrified. Please don't be a tagged photo.
I think you're going to appreciate it.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's me for sure.
Do you know why I say I think it's who you are?
Oh, uncircumcised dudes be like.
It shows your goofiness, and it's like you know, obviously it's a beautiful photo. Like, every girl watching this could sit on that face all day, every day, and just like eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner on that face. And that you go down here, and it's just like uncircumcised dudes be like, in the great cornholio, come through, Beavis and Butthead.
Thank you. If you ended up going through my profile, you will see probably 98% of pictures I post, and especially like the more vanity driven they are, like the weirder the caption is. Every now and then I'll have one where I'm kind of feeling myself or feeling motivated for the day, and I'll throw one on there. But what's the caption on that one?
Oh, let's see. When you see mommy kissing Santa Claus, and then he takes $20 out of her purse and puts it in the pocket of his jean shorts. You're ridiculous.
Because I can't take that shit serious. Those kind of photos are so corny to me, and it's a big reason why a lot of people don't like me. So it's like,
those people. You don't want people who don't like you. Don't want to like people who don't like you. And that it's the greatest, I think, pull for people, where there's a psychological thing going on, because as comedians, we command attention. And when somebody doesn't like us, sometimes it's an instinctual thing to go, well, why the fuck don't they like us? Let me try and do this. And you keep leaning in. We got to lean back. And that's why I was like, this motherfucker, there's a commodity, obviously. Look, one day you're going to be 80 and fucking wrinkled. You know what I mean? If you're
a long time from now. Yeah.
So many wives from now. So many Hollywood director wives from now.
Wow. Holler at your boy.
You might as well celebrate what you fucking look like. I put my ass on Instagram. I haven't done it in a while because I've been kind of sad, but I'm coming out.
I know. I thought about her following. I was like, she lost it. She lost her brand.
Oh, God. I got to put my ass back up. But I do the same shit. It's like, yeah, I got a great butt and I'm funny. So I'm going to put that shit together. And if you hate on it, you probably hate your ass and yourself. Oh,
yeah. The shallowness that people think I am, I cannot deal with these type of people. Like the young dudes on like TikTok and stuff or our Instagram, where it'll be like the type of photo I posted, but the caption is like, would you be mine? It's like, I will punch you in your fucking face. Who are you?
The caption is just the lick lip. I can't stand the lick lip.
It's insane. I can't.
It really is.
It's the douchiest thing ever. And people love it. They get like 8 million followers from it. And
I think the result of the generation, you know, it's like, so much of this generation's existence is within a imaginary realm. It's on social media. They don't know these people. They never met them. So they're just responding to a facade and something that is a filtered image of who they really are. And so, of course, they're like, oh, yeah, like, girl, I'm yours. I'm all yours. Like, no.
We need bullies now more than ever.
100%. And they got it.
I think bullying is going to be at an all-time high in like 10 years.
I know. Anybody
in school can be like, do you want to see a picture of your mom's pussy? Because I got that on my lock screen.
Oh my God. Okay, here's a throwback. You just reminded me of something that happened. I used to work at H&M and we had a boss whose name shall go unnamed. I can't even remember her name now. I'm trying to remember it because I want to say it, but probably a good thing I can't because there's some reason I'm drawing a blank. But she was a pretty girl. Mm-hmm. And she did like a naked photo shoot. And I went to go into the fitting room because it was my shift. And this homeboy who was half German, half Mexican, so funny. His name was Abraham. He was like, you got to come in here. I've got a picture of her pussy. And I was like,
what?
And I'm telling you this because there were no cell phones. He printed this shit.
No, he did not.
He had like 6 pages of her photo shoot that he got off the internet. And passed him around the store. And she did like a hustler, like spread lips. And this is a boss. She's definitely your type. You would have fucking loved her. A little bit older, pretty.
All right.
Like just beautiful face. And I have to say, pretty good kitty too. I wasn't. It was.
Did he, did he like folded up pieces of like printer paper? Or did he like go out, like he laminate them?
Oh, I thought you meant was her pussy folded up. I'm like, I don't know. She could have tucked it in. I don't know about that.
Just curious.
It was full on.
Was she popping her collar or was she well-mannered?
It was like sheets of paper. He was like, look at this.
Like he was serving you.
I got served pussy papers. I was like, we passed him around the whole store. What was her fucking name? She was
Please figure out her name so I can DM her.
It was a H&M store in Downtown Crossing, Boston, circa 2009-ish. You know who you are.
40 now.
Ooh, you want me to get those digits? Do you have a type?
Yeah. You know what? I often think I do, but then every now and then someone will catch my interest and I'm like, huh, maybe this is what I like. It's always older. Always older.
Why do you think that is? Not that I don't think anything's wrong with it, but what do you think about, what do you like about older women? Besides the fact we know how to suck the skin off of a dick.
Boy, do you. Thanks to, because you've had so much time to be traumatized.
Yep.
You've needed to, you know, get that out.
Yes.
It's hard to tell if this is just because I have been in LA for so long. Like, I only had one girlfriend before moving to LA. Like 4 months before I moved to LA, I lost my virginity. So like I didn't have a lot of Midwest experience. So I only got shallow LA. But my experience with younger women in LA is like the lack of maturity and self. Not necessarily in like a, like the maturity of older women isn't necessarily like the fact that they don't know how to, you know, have fun or be goofy or whatever, but it's just like having their shit together is so attractive to me. Not even like being well off or a nice apartment or anything like that. I don't give two shits about that. I just want you to like have a plan, not have some random dude or mommy and daddy paying your bills. Having that sense of just independence, I think is so attractive. And young girls here are just dumb. They're so dumb and shallow. And it's just not for me.
They're more concerned with taking photos in front of murals than reading a book. And I can't what are we doing here? By the way, what you described, why you like older women is why most women go for certain types of men. Like have your shit, some semblance of it being together.
Yeah.
Like, please.
I mean, it is a physical thing as well. I don't know why physically I think women look better as they get older. I don't know why that is, but I mean, it goes for that as well. But
that's just they look better when they get older because they have really good dermatologists.
Is that what it is? It's the Botox. There we go.
Maybe I'm a lot of the Botox. I thought about Botoxing my butthole just to see if it would look cute without any wrinkles, but then I got scared.
Can you Botox your balls, you think?
Oh, for sure. You'd go from Robert Redford to like your face in 2 seconds. I feel like we need a podcast.
Just look like a little Christmas bulb under there, just smooth and shiny.
Who is your celebrity crush? I just said Robert Redford. Who's your celebrity crush? Kate Beckinsale.
No, I don't. I don't do celebrity crushes anymore. I don't do that anymore.
You don't have one.
If I had to choose, probably Amelia Eve.
Damn! Now you're gonna make me Google.
She's not super famous. She was in The Haunting of Bly Manor. She plays the lesbian gardener.
Oh, she was great.
She's so cute to me. I think she's so cute.
She was great in that.
And she's like 1 year older than me, but I believe she's British, so she's technically like 5 years older than me.
Yeah, they're definitely more mature for sure. She's like 82. If she's 26, it's 82 British years.
It's so cute. She's beautiful to me. I think she seems fun and interesting. I DM'd her one time and she left me on red. So
she left you on a red, bitch. At least turn off your notifications to let me know that it's just in the ether.
Fine. Why even read it if you aren't interested?
Are you so busy?
I don't even remember what I said. She had done a post about wanting to do a film with Taika Waititi, the director, who's like, mm-hmm. I've been obsessed with him for like way before he was on.
Yeah, way before he like, was it Jojo Rabbit? Please go watch that movie. Oh,
I saw it like 6 times the year it came out. So
I bet it hit you hard. I bet that movie was like,
so good.
Oh. So good. It was so good.
Have you seen What We Do in the Shadows?
I haven't. Everyone keeps telling me to watch it. Is it a series now? And it was a movie?
Yeah. So the movie was originally Taika Waititi and Jemaine Clement. Both New Zealand. They're brilliant. So it's a movie first, and the movie is amazing. And then now it's a show on FX, but with different actors and different characters, but same exact premise.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to watch it.
It's really good as well, but the movie is better.
It's my favorite thing to do.
Huh?
That's my favorite thing to do. Like, I watch scary movies to go to sleep. There's something wrong with me.
I was watching Shutter Island last night to fall asleep to.
That movie's trippy, man. Like, that's the sort of thing where if you do just the right amount of edibles, you could be like, yo, am I Leonardo DiCaprio? Like, where am I right now?
I know how this ends, and now I can see everything. It's great.
I was laughing.
A lot?
I just thought of something really funny when you were talking, when we were talking about celebrity crushes.
Oh, God.
I was gonna say your celebrity crush is Angela Lansbury.
Who the fuck is that?
From Murder, She Wrote.
Of course I've never seen that.
Everybody who knows what it is gonna cry. Wait, I gotta show you.
Oh, please Google it. So I'm not completely lost.
I love that you don't know who it is. I kind of have a little bit of a lady boner, the fact that you don't know who she is. It's a show from back in the day. She was a badass female detective.
Oh, my God. I would bend her over her shower chair so quick. Wow. God damn, she's fine.
She, you know, she really had it together. Did you ever jerk off to Golden Girls?
It was Blanche for me.
Blanche was a sexy bitch, man. That was such a funny show. If you go back and watch that, their content is so progressive.
Have you seen the Betty White documentary on Netflix?
No, I want to watch that shit.
Amazing. I had no idea. I thought Golden Girls was like her main thing. She was famous. Hugely famous for so long before that.
Damn.
I had no idea.
Were you touching yourself a little bit?
What's that?
Were you touching yourself a little bit watching it?
Not until it got to the Golden Girls part. She was young for me in her 40s. It wasn't really for me. She had I might butcher this a little bit, but I'm pretty close. She had like a live television show for like, it was like 5 or 6 hours a day 5 days a week, she hosted this live television show, and there was no commercials. She had to do the – everything was live. She had to do the commercials as well. So she was on live for like 5 or 6 hours a day.
That explains why she's still so sharp. Is she still alive? She's still alive.
She just turned 99 this year.
Damn.
I know. I'm sliding in the DM until she hits 100.
Oh, you better slide in now because we don't know if she's going to make it.
She's like she's a piece of American history. It'd be like dicking down Rosa Parks, you know? Like,
yeah,
to have that story.
Yeah, dicking down Rosa Parks.
It's Black History Month. It felt like the right thing to say.
Oh my god! Oh my!
It's amazing. You gotta see it just to see.
I'm gonna watch it.
How much she's done is so impressive, and she still handwrites and returns her fan mail.
Are you serious? She's have arthritis?
She will after I'm done with it, for sure.
So terrible.
So bad.
That guys, if you've been offended by anything, please email us. Let us know what offended you.
Also, if you have any connections to Betty White, email us.
Yes, please email us. We would love some Betty White connections. Also, if you have any rare Golden Girls footage that hasn't aired for Matt Spankbank, please definitely send it to us. We would love.
Would love that.
Yeah.
Do you think if you were Betty White at her age, would you still want to smash? Like if I genuinely pursued Betty White and was like, hey, I'd love to do sex with you.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. If I was Betty White, and I just got done with dinner at like 2 p.m. and I was about ready. Yeah. You know, I was putting on my night creams and you showed up. I would be so quick to pop all of the medicines, my ginkgo bilobas, my Metamucil. I would snort magnesium. I would tell you to wait on my flower porch. Old bitches always have flower porches with like boilies. I would tell you to wait on my hot ass flower porch while I went into calisthenics in the fucking living room. I would set up the bathroom for us with my shower chair. I'd have my life alert. I would press it just
in case.
I'd have an ambulance.
Beat the clock. I have to finish by the time the ambulance gets there. Shouldn't be a problem.
You better believe I'm going to make a wish the shit out of this kid. I just would have assumed you were a make-a-wish kid. I'm like, well, you want a fucking old lady? Come right in. Do you like Werther's Original? I hit him in my pussy.
I bet her pussy tastes like a Werther's Original. I bet it does.
How do you think she lures fellas like you into her house? She pops. She got Werther's Original. Her pussy's a candy jar.
One of the glass ones that grandmas always have.
Why is it so heavy? Remember those shitty ass candies, the strawberry, like the plastic wrappers?
Yes.
Green top.
Ugh. Those, and grandma's always had the wafer cookies. Oh my god.
What about those cookies with like the jelly, like the shortbread cookie with like the jelly in the middle?
I live for that shit.
I bet you do.
It's an aphrodisiac for me. I love it. I don't know. Fuck. I should probably talk about this in therapy. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't have mommy issues or grandma issues. I don't. I mean, my mom doesn't have her shit together at all, so that kind of checks out.
Well, so your mom remarried an asshole when you were, how old were you? What, like soon after your dad died?
Yeah, I was like 5.
He was abusive to you?
Oh, yeah. We'd fight all the time. It's crazy.
Was he like, would he hit you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. To the point where it's so normalized to me, it's not even a triggering subject. Like, yeah.
Is she still married to him?
No. They got divorced like, probably 3 or 4 years ago. But they were like over it, I'd say. 6 years ago, but like it was one of the circumstances where like neither of them could afford to leave each other. So I was like, I guess we'll just live in this house. It was crazy. It was so bad. I remember like if you would have walked into my high school home, you would have been like, which Texas high school quarterback lives here. It was just a trailer full of beer cans everywhere. It was so gross.
You legit grew up in a trailer?
For a couple of years. And then we moved to like an okay house.
You're like Eminem.
For sure I'm Eminem.
You're the Eminem of comedy, 100%.
That might be the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Are you close
with your mom? As I wear this beanie.
Are you close with your mom?
I'm pretty close, yeah. Closest with my grandpa, I'd say.
Is that your mom's mom or your dad's dad? Or your mom's dad or your dad's dad?
My mom's dad. You'd love him. I got him a pocket pussy for the past two Christmases in a row.
I'll give him a real one. Does he have any money?
He has no money. You would be doing it for the love of the game. Like, you would get nothing from it. He's been single for 13 years and hasn't been on a date since.
Oh, there should be a service for men like that and women. Like, if you are single and elderly, there should be some sort of service where someone takes you out, wines and dines you, gives you a little yankee, yankee, yankee. And, you know, or you know, the Morse code, the DJ Morse code. Obviously, it's been a while. I'm like.
I love your technique. I'm going to copy that.
And if a girl ever goes, what are you doing? Just say, Jesse May Peluso taught me this.
it's the sharp tongue technique. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
I got him one like 2 years ago, and he was like, like thought it was a total gag gift or whatever. And then like September of that following year, I was like, I don't really know how to top what I got you for Christmas last year. I was like, honestly, how was it? And he was like, Matthew, I broke its neck.
Your grandfather?
My grandfather. I was also mortified that he gave it a body part.
He's a gentleman, that's why.
I didn't need to know what he was envisioning. And also the fact that he broke it.
Mm-hmm. He's impressed. A fucking gentleman. Yeah, 100%. He's a gentleman. And how? I was thinking, like, you're 25, so how old is your grandfather? Like 42? 66, right in that wheelhouse. Ooh! Oh,
yeah. He has no money. It's great. You'd love it.
Oh, God. I can't deal with broke dudes anymore in my life. I've sort of graduated from that time in my
life. Oh, this has been fun.
Doggies, don't bark. My dogs are going crazy.
Is your sister home?
No, it's probably the murderer coming to get me because I'm literally in my own horror movie plot where everyone leaves and I'm alone with the dogs, distracted on my laptop. What would you do if I got murdered on here?
Oof. Is everything okay? Are you sure you're fine? Make sure I can put it on TikTok so I can cash in on this tragedy.
Oh my God. I kind of love that you gave your grandfather that. I think it's like, you know, you asked if I would still bone at that age. And I feel like my grandma was boning well into her 90s. She was going out riding motorcycles with her boyfriend. They were going out dancing on Friday nights. So a pocket pussy, I feel, is like par for the course for elderly dude.
I guess, don't they say like nursing homes are like riddled with STDs because people are just fucking like crazy?
Well, they're gonna be when I get there for sure.
I'm gonna party started.
I'm gonna come with a bag of syphilis. Like, who wants to come over?
just sprinkling syphilis on people.
Making it rain gonorrhea. Who wants a shortbread cookie?
You're gonna earn this $5 birthday card. I got the second one I got him has a, God, they're getting so, they keep upgrading them. I got him, the last one I got him has a, the back end of it that you don't fuck has like a suction cup thing. So you can put it to a wall.
Or a fridge door.
Or a fridge door.
I'm just thinking, I love sex and snacks. So I'm just thinking for myself.
Just opening and closing with every stroke.
And then you get yourself like a little pizza. It's like a fucking, that's a date. That sounds great. That sounds wonderful.
You may have just come up with a Shark Tank idea of the year.
We should go into Shark Tank. and be like, guys, we're asking for $62 million for 2% of our idea.
That's why there's a light in the refrigerator. You put the kitchen all the way dark, and then with each stroke, it kind of lights up a little bit. It's like a disco.
Yeah, it's like a rapey disco, but you're only raping yourself.
I'm terrified, though, because like now I'm like, when I go home next Christmas, if there's any drywall patches, I'm going to know.
Oh.
Because I can't imagine the suction cup comes off that easily.
It wouldn't be great if your grandpa was still stuck to it, like some sort of alley cat.
Just emaciated, like the Walking Dead. He hasn't been able to eat for days.
If he goes out like that, God bless him. God bless him. If he goes out inside of a pocket pussy, that's a full spectrum. It's a full spectrum of life.
I wouldn't even, it would be my fault, but I wouldn't feel bad about it at all.
You could put it on stage. Put it on page and bring it to the fucking stage.
Oh God, that'd be so good. He's been a big supporter. He was the one that would like drive me to open mics and stuff when I was like 15, like after high school.
That's awesome. He encouraged you to be a comedian?
He's probably the primary responsible person for that. Yeah.
That's awesome. I think, you know, one of the reasons why people like you and I who've been through a lot of shit end up okay is because of love, because of somebody who saw potential in us. We're okay. Not great. We're okay.
Okay.
We're okay. I think we're okay. I mean, your dad's suicide, your mom's abusive tornado of a relationship, you know, going through toxic relationships. We always search for the thing that hurt us the most.
Damn. That's so deep.
I've done a lot of therapy. I've learned that about myself, you know.
Is your therapist, does he lead you in a direction? Like, does he ever point things out, or is he more of like a kind of gets you to figure it out on your own?
Oh, he's like, what the fuck are you doing? Why can't you see that this is what's going on? Like, it's so obvious. He's very direct. Yeah, he's really, really good. He's been on the podcast. His name is Brett Costin, and he's out in LA. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Is he good?
He's great. Yeah. I actually discovered him because I was reading Bryan Cranston's autobiography, A Life in Parts, which if you like shit like that, it's a really good book. Yeah. It's about how he got into acting and his whole life growing up. And I'm a huge fan of his. So he mentioned Breck in the book. And then one of my dear friends also mentioned Breck within the week. And I was like, okay, I need to meet him because the universe is throwing him at me. Mm-hmm. And that was like 3.5 years ago. And I, you know, I went to therapy for years after I got raped and dealing with like sexual trauma and all sorts of things that I experienced as a child. You know, I had an uncle who molested one of my best friends for like 6 years. And, you know, so all of that I had to unpack in a very short amount of time. So I went to traditional therapy where the therapist would sort of just sit there and listen, but not really provide a lot of strategic ways to start to excavate the issue. Just sort of listen. And while that serves a purpose, I'm a very ambitious person. And I like to figure things out. I like to solve a problem. And I think once we realize certain tools and ways to implement things into our life where we can solve our problem, our issue, which is the biggest problem we need to solve, then you can be more present everywhere else. And Breck was really the only one who sort of was a little bit more strong, a little strong-handed when it comes to how to get out of your own fucking way. And that's what he says. He's like, you got to get the fuck out of your way. And he also says, which was the point of this diatribe that I'm on, he said that there's a core issue in you and you will find it everywhere else in your life until you dig it out yourself. It will show up in your work, your friendships, your relationships.
Maybe I need to do a session with him. I'd be so interested to have that. The one I go to, I try to go to a female because I do talk about a lot of relationship stuff a lot of the time. And I don't want it to be like, I don't want to have the dude be like, you know, bitches are crazy. It's very easy for a guy therapist to just do that. Well, that's women for you.
Just be honest. You're looking for another girlfriend. When you go to therapy, you're just looking for another
girlfriend. It's the first date. Yeah, I'm just unloading everything. And then afterwards I go, so What do you think?
Can we see each other again? Or
what, you think this will, is this doable? Could you put up with this?
Kind of feeling you. I feel like we have a connection.
I just like it being unbiased. But she's a lot more sit back, listen, let you figure it out on your own, which I think I'm good with because I'm probably a crazy person who has so many internal dialogues going on all the time. I am always thinking of things and overthinking things.
It's so like anxiety.
Yeah, I guess that is what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, for her to just be able to, like, just listen and let me vent, usually I can work stuff out on my own. But I think I would like a little bit of confirmation or direction in it.
I can give you my guy's info. And I feel like the fact that you're even going to any kind of therapy is amazing, you know. And having someone listen, like you said, is that's a step in a direction of healing. And, mm-hmm. you know, my dude just has... He's just more aggressive. That's like it's a word that maybe has a negative connotation to it, but he's effective.
Yeah.
And he's strategic, you know, he's like somebody where like, for example, 2020 hits and my tour gets canceled, you know, my boyfriend and I broke up and my mom dies. So I'll go to him. I haven't been to him this whole year. And I just hit him up a couple weeks ago. Like, okay, all this stuff sort of has culminated and I'm ready to be progressive in this next year. What am I doing now? How has what happened sort of gotten in my way and what can I do to unpack that moving forward?
So, sorry to interrupt. I'm just curious. Do you go usually consistently, like on a weekly or every other week, or is it when it's usually like, I really need to talk to somebody now?
Yeah, it's like an as needed thing, you know? For me, that works.
Same here. They always recommend that you do it consistently, but sometimes I'm fine. It's rare, but sometimes I'm okay.
We talk for work. You're on. That's very cathartic. Like being on stage and just rambling your thoughts. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is dark. Like I've learned similar to me, where darkness is where you shed light, and that can be extremely cathartic. And
oh yeah,
not that. Comedians need less therapy. I just think if you treat it a certain way, you can use the stage as a healing tool as well. But, you know, it's just interesting because, like, as I said in the beginning of us talking, people look at people like you and I, two white, attractive people, and assume that we've had this plate of privilege served to us our whole lives. And I don't know, suicide, rape, molestation, death, trauma doesn't sound too fucking... wonderful to me.
Right. I think it's interesting you bring up the work concept of it. Like I started going pretty heavily like mid last year. I started having panic attacks. Like out of nowhere. Had never had them before. Have you ever had one?
Oh yeah.
Fucking terrifying, right?
The worst. It really feel like you're dying.
Oh, absolutely. It's the scariest thing I could possibly imagine anybody going through. And now actually like now most of my anxiety and panic attacks come from like PTSD of having another panic attack. It's crazy.
Oh, that's definitely a thing. It's like one panic attack can beget another panic attack.
Exactly. So I started having that. I was going to therapy trying to figure out why I was having so much anxiety and panic when like nothing's even going on. Like I'm just at home chilling every day. And this is when I went like 5 months without being on stage and like just waking up every day. Work out and then like just be high all day and fucking do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And my therapist started to talk about work and how it's been so scarce. And we came to the conclusion that it is such an exertion of energy. I hate when comedians go like, oh, the stage is my therapy. And then they go up there and be like, my dick is so weird. Like,
What are you unpacking?
Don't say it because you think it's a deep thing to say. But yeah, like,
exactly.
So it's not always in that sense. But it is, no matter what you're talking about, it's still an exertion of energy and thought. And it's your brain has to work so hard. So even just the level of performance, he was like, you've been doing stand-up. It had been 9 years last year. At least once a week, probably on average, for the past 9 years of your life. And he's like, now you haven't done it in 5 months. He was like, all of that kind of energy is just kind of moving around your body and you have no way to get it out. So that's what made us start doing our outdoor shows actually. So it ended up being, you know, a blessing in disguise. But yeah, I thought that was super interesting to realize like, oh shit, maybe we do need what we do.
I think so. And that makes perfect sense. Like, I've had days where I wonder, like, what's going on with me? And, like, I didn't even think about that for a long time during the quarantine. Like, oh, I'm not getting on stage. Like, you're getting on stage. Like, I was like, what's all this caustic, kinetic energy? It feels like just a rambunctious child who's throwing a fit in my mind and in my energy and not knowing where or what it was from. And it took me a while to realize that too. Like, there's definitely, when you speak about things that are traumatizing, like suicide and rape, and obviously our whole sets aren't all of that, but when they're woven into what we do on stage, that connects people to their own trauma. And it also, a little piece of us can release it. Mm-hmm. You can let go its claw onto you. You know what I mean? Like, when you talk about it, you just release its latch that it has on you a little bit. Yeah. At least for me.
You're saying it sarcastically on stage, like, oh, I was molested or whatever. Even if you say it in that tone and people laugh, they're like, ah, they're just kidding. You're like, I'm free. A little bit. I technically just yelled to a bunch of people how I was molested, and whether they know it or not, that's such a relief for me.
Is it terrible that I'm laughing?
No, it's cathartic. You're welcome.
Well, Matt, we have to continue this. This is going to be a part one. I'm writing this down. This is going to be a part one of our conversation because we don't really know each other, and there's so much more depth to you than, you know, meets the eye. And now that I know that you, A, would bend Angela Lansbury over her shower chair, I believe you called it.
Absolutely.
And B, you go to therapy. You're a very dynamic individual.
Thank you. Thank you. I like to think so. I like to, you know, keep people on their toes.
So we're gonna consider these open conversations, and we're just going to have them as our heart's desire. Whenever our schedules allow, if you would come back, we're going to continue to get to know each other.
Happily. When do you think you might come back to LA?
I'm going to come back actually a week from today.
You're back a week from today?
Yeah, I'm packing up my apartment and figuring out what my next moves are. I don't know if my soul is out there right now at this time. Mm-hmm. I'm still going through healing and dealing with losing my mom, and I don't feel the universe calling me to dig my heels in anywhere right now besides with my family and my sister and her kids, which is a lot for me because I am not a traditionally child-friendly person. But so yeah, I'm going to come out there, and I'll probably be out there for like a month. So maybe we can sit 6 feet apart from each other and
cough in each other's faces.
Yeah, definitely cough in each other's face. And I might flash you my kneecap.
It's been a while since you flashed somebody.
My kneecap, yeah. I've never flashed a kneecap, but I'll flash one to you.
It's all I really need.
It's all you really need.
A good... Hate it.
What about the face afterwards?
Because you knew. You knew you were wrong.
Where can these fools find you? Where can Black Pumpkin guys will be?
No,
out.
It's not out yet. It's not out. It's
Black so Pumpkin bad. Is out everywhere, streaming on so Vulu, bad. Vudu, so Hulu, bad. And Tutu.
They keep asking me to promote it too, and I'm like, "Are you out of your fucking mind?"
I am promoting it. I am promoting the fuck out of it.
Oh my God.
I'm so sorry, Black Pumpkin. Everybody, I believe it's available on Prime Video for $6.
Yeah, go ahead and waste your money while there's starving children in Africa.
Nice try. We're not falling for that shit. Black Pumpkin, everybody, available everywhere, streaming everywhere.
You're guys. A nightmare. Oh, my God.
Do you have a podcast?
No, I don't have a podcast.
You need a podcast. You have a live the show in LA. How can they come see that if they're in LA?
Oh yeah, if you guys live in LA, we do a show called Low Key Outside. It's all one word. We have an Instagram. We always post our lineups and everything. How soon does this come out?
This will probably be out within 24 hours. So probably tomorrow or Thursday.
Okay, so yeah, this coming Sunday, the 21st, it's in Eagle Rock, like 15-20 minutes outside of LA. We have Whitney Cummings, Chris Redd, Mikey Winfield, Matt Bronger, Blair Saki. myself and then Paul Elia produced the show.
I love Paul. That's still a great lineup.
I know, right? It's kind of killer. We've got – it's almost sold out, actually, so there might be a few tickets left. But we do that every other week, so come check that out. But if not, they can always just – my own social media or whatever. It's all just my name, all of
and
it.
And on TikTok, they can find your cock on TikTok.
If they have nothing better to do, they can find me on TikTok. And, you know, honestly, if my career stays stagnant for much longer, OnlyFans very soon. I'm so
don't
close.
Hate the player, hate the game. I'll
I'm giving
there.
It one more year, Jesse. I'm one more year.
6 months. Come on. Don't be such a prude.
God.
It was really surprisingly delightful. I mean, I knew we would have fun, but it was nice to like sit and talk with you, and you feel like a human, like a real human being now, and not just a piece
I'm
of
such a meat. That's great.
You are. You could be a total sociopath. Oh my God. Are you American Psycho? You totally are. You minx. You minx.
I'm gonna have some punches and print some business cards. I'll be back.
Well, I'll give you a call again, and we'll do this again real soon.
Anytime. Have a good week. I'll talk to you
Bye.
Soon.
Bye.
Bye.